Natalie Cawthorn is a native of Houston, Texas, currently living in London. She's pursuing a doctorate in creative writing and literature. She sent us a short story about something that seems in short supply lately, kindness, empathy. Here is her short story, Funny Boy. At the checkout counter, anxiety's creeping in. You're jumping up and down beside me, a 6'2", 16-year-old, boyish and lanky, too skinny for that height. But there's no time to eat, never any time. There's too much jumping to do, too much clapping and skipping, and those circles aren't going to run themselves around the house. You'll spend an hour running laps, mind so lost in the far-off land of your iPod that I'll have to stand outside too, your personal traffic guard, redirecting your path when it strays too close to the road. Because you don't notice the road. You wouldn't notice the car either. Once the iPod's on, the land you're in is even farther away than your normal one. But what is normal anyway? It's our turn to check out. No incidences so far. We've almost made it to the end, almost home free. The little girl behind me whispers, "Daddy, he's funny." You're clapping your hands loudly now because the lady at the checkout has handed you There Goes a Fire Truck, the DVD you've been tirelessly obsessing about since Tuesday. For me, it's still Tuesday. You wouldn't get to sleep last night or the night before, and you were up again the moment my head touched the pillow, like you knew, instinctively protecting those dark circles under my eyes, which you've grown so used to. One big, fat Tuesday. You're waving the DVD around now, jumping like you do, like it's a sacred offering, a tribal dance revering the gods for the blessing of rain, or in your case, fire trucks. There's a blue circle on the front that says ages 6 to 10. Not the most typical pick for a 16-year-old. You're not really 16, though, are you? Not in there, just on the outside. What is typical, anyway? The dad whispers back, "Yeah, sweetie, he's funny." There's no malice behind it, no uncomfortableness or disgust, no pity, no annoyance, no underlying meaning. But inside, I want to lose it. I want to whip around and smack that Dora the Explorer ice cream cake he's waltzed up here with his all carefree zippity-doo-dah straight into the ground. I want to scream at him, correct his ignorance, his impudence. There's ways of saying it, you know. That's what I would shout at him. On the spectrum, special needs, autism, pick one, but for God's sake, pick one of the right ones. You're not jumping anymore. For a brief moment, you're still, standing like any other boy, absorbed by the pictures on the back of the DVD. It makes me hate myself for degrading you, categorizing you, defining you, turning you into a label, another stupid label. And me on my high and mighty horse, getting defensive about the right label, the politically correct label. Me, robbing you of a description that would, for any other boy, be a compliment. You are funny. You make me laugh every day. What is the right label anyway? You're smiling to yourself. The last item beeps past the scanner, a bag of green apples. I'll slice one up for you later. You'll eat half a slice and a box of Cheerios for dinner. But hey, it's something, and we gotta pick our battles, right? We're almost there now. You look over at me and shove the DVD in my face, pointing to a picture of a clown on top of the fire truck. You're giggling. "Look, Mummy," you say, "that's funny." Groceries are bagged, anxiety shifting, just need to pay. I rummage around my bag looking for the wallet, sifting through layers of last month's shopping lists and crinkled receipts, dirty tissues, clean tissues, wet wipes, no wallet. I wiggle my hand deeper past the grime-covered strawberry lip balm with the missing cap, the pharmacy bland jojoba body mist, the empty tube of peppermint Mentos. Still no wallet. So I'm forced to go in elbow deep, a midwife at full dilation, and still no baby. I'm feeling around the absolute bottom now, the land of lost Mentos, forgotten pennies, and sticky mysteries. My wallet's at home, which means I've been carrying around a pleather pouch filled with trash, and this was all for nothing. You're getting impatient. I can tell by the way you start pacing back and forth. Anxiety is in full force when I realize I'm going to have to pull that DVD out of your hands. You won't go down without a fight. There will be screaming, kicking, pushing. There may even be tears from both of us. Everyone will stare. It really shouldn't matter, but there won't be anything funny about it. A tap on my shoulder. It's the dad behind me, the unknowing recipient of some undeserved internal wrath. He's probably going to let me know there are people waiting. It's well within his right, since I'm just standing here, temporarily out of order, the result of an anxiety-induced brain malfunction. I inhale deeply, preparing to face him, along with the rest of the irritated wolves in the checkout queue, because they have places to be, don't you know? 3, 2, 1, okay, turn. He's smiling. You need me to get that? I refuse automatically, excessively. Oh, no, 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 I say, as graciously as I can. Really, no, no, you don't have to, really. Please, he says kindly. It's no trouble. We've all been there. In the end, I let him pay for my groceries and for the fire truck DVD. He wants nothing in return, waves the suggestion away to the winds. No IOU, no phone number, no Facebook bulletin alerting the world of his good deeds. Just tells me not to worry, that I'll laugh about it later.